White for three.
Yeah, NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? It is NBA Australia, and this is Wednesday, April 10, all day, hump day. Feels weirdly not like Wednesday for me. I don't know. Adelaide on Monday, just a bit bizarre. Anyway, I'm your host, James Clements. You can also see me on the official AFL Supercoach show. What else? AFL Today show. Fox Sports Lab NBA, here in Larry Armour Studios, again. I had to go pick up the squid from his coding camp. He's five. He's digging it. That was fun. So I was in the office this morning, causing havoc, shooting AFL stuff, then home, getting the squid, now back. And we're talking Giannis being injured. Oh, geez. Boston set a new record today with zero free throws. We've got Ant-Man dropping 50. But the biggest thing, dun, 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 dun. That's right, Jack White is back out there for the Grizzlies. Love that. We also had some smashings today, so we'll fly through all that in the NBA Australia Game Race. We've got That's Not an Eyeball, Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got some Yeah Nazi on Popular Opinion of the Day, and our back take guest. We were serving up a flame grill take, as well as an Andrew Gaze Grandma Reward and a Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Shot Light 'em Up Award. Because why wouldn't you? And, yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts on the slate for tomorrow as well. So we'll do a pick and preview for each of those, but more annoyingly, are just some of those games. I'm just like, what are we doing here? Anyway, we'll get into that in a second. So without further ado, this is NBA Australia episode 1071. Oh, let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Whoa, you better. I'll tell you what. Better watch out for the Charles Barkley attack as well if you're the Suns. I enjoyed that.
Huh, the leaders are not leading. They're weak mentally. They're just real soft. Shaq.
Are the Suns going to figure out? Chuck does not believe in after what we saw today. I don't either. Right. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the Daily. I believe it's some sort of whip around. There you go. The Daily whoosh, whip around. Jack White, there it is right there. He's back. I love him. Our most recent NBA champion, despite, you know, not seeing the floor in the playoffs. But Jack White got out there and got signed by the Memphis Grizzlies to a 10-day contract and played 26 minutes today. He scored 6 points. He hit a couple of threes. It was awesome. So a 10-day contract with the Grizzlies. I mean, what? I think they've got 4 games remaining. That sounds about right. Maybe, yeah, there was 4 before today. So I think they've got 3 left. Yeah, they've got the Cavs. That's right.
Cleveland!
And the Lakers and the Nuggets. His old team! Oh, that'll be fun. But that's kind of cool. I think it's very exciting. So they signed Xavier Simpson and Jack White. So that's Xavier Simpson's second 10-day contract. And remarkably, Jack White, with his hardship exceptions because of all of the injuries they've copped, I think that it's like a 33-player year. I believe, for the Grizzlies, which is obviously a record. So, yeah, pretty awesome, pretty chaos, very funny, or just, like, sad if you're a Grizzlies fan, but by the same token, radical. So you'll take it, right? You'll take it. What a legend. I'm so stoked for him. Like, it just kind of rules. He just got out there, hit a couple of threes, off he goes, bang. I'm just trying to figure out the final remaining vibes on how many players. I think it's 33. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's a lot of people playing basketball. Yeah. All right, there we go. Giannis. Oh, and also with the Grizzlies signing Jack White, that leaves Indiana and the Clippers as the only NBA franchises to never have an NBA Australian suit up for them. Cowards! And that's why you're never going to win a title, either of you, until you rectify the situation. Giannis! This one might have some implications. I'll tell you that much. Non-contact injury. They're calling it a calf sprain. It looked pretty bad. Just sort of like inbounding the ball, comes back up, and he's like, ow, oh, God, my calf. Did have a buddy of mine, Weaves. He's out there, Jim, is that an Achilles? And I'm like, It felt very calfy because he was very high up. I feel like the Achilles, they sort of grab at the lower half of the calf anyway. Giannis also does very large calves. He's a very tall gentleman. It looked rough as guts, though. And that's one of those ones where you're like, oh, did the Bucks season just get taken out behind the woolshed? Maybe. Maybe. But the latest on that for the Giannis gear, it was officially termed as a left calf strain. And now you're just like, fingers crossed if like you're any sort of a Bucks fan, because geez, it's just boing, my calf. So even if it's not an Achilles, it looked like a bad calf strain where something has just gone completely awry. And you just sort of like, you know, prayers up that it's actually all okay. Because God damn it. It's the last thing the Bucks need is like Giannis missing a couple of weeks. Anyway, left calf strain, they say. Left calf strain. Interestingly, calf strain, look, depending on the severity, it can be 1 to 2 weeks. If it's a grade one, grade two is 3 to 6 weeks. Grade three, you're out of the, you're done for the season. Playoffs, obviously. So, yeah. This is a tricky one. It's a very, very tricky one for Giannis and the Buckaroos. Hey, Ja Morant, he got a teammate today. He got a new Aussie teammate in Jack White. It's kind of neat. Also got told that, you know, his entire thing with, like, that weird thing that he was being brought up on was self-defense by a judge. So he's in the clear, it seems like. I'm no, judicial expert. But the judge has said that he can, it's fairly raised self-defense in the lawsuit. So, superstar fairly raised self-defense in a lawsuit filed by a teenager he punched in July. Jeez. Just any time you have a sentence involving you saying, punched a teenager, it's like, what are you doing here? Just seriously, what are you doing? So he swung first to protect himself. Yeah, sure. Not just being weird or anything. He seems like a pretty normal guy. Carl Anthony Towns, good for 5-on-5 now. Good news for Wolves fans. Or is it? I'll talk about that later. But he's been approved for 5-on-5 contact practice. So hopefully he comes back from that meniscus and he's all good. And then finally today, mentioned the record-setting thing at the top. Bucks-Celtics today. Boston versus Milwaukee. It's Algonquin for the good land. Not a good land if you're like betting on, I don't know, free throw attempts, because there were two. Only two free throw attempts the entire game. Now, the refs might have clamped down a little bit too much on this now, huh? So, we're going to stop calling weird fouls because we're sick of juicing the offensive numbers. So now we're just going to call any fouls. I'm conceptually actually fine with that. But for the simple fact that there was probably still some fouls in this game and they called one foul that resulted in free throws. So basically, if you drove, took a shot, you were fouled, you didn't get called. It's pretty funny. That is the no game is featured less than 5 3 throws made since 1963-64. It was Giannis in the first quarter as well that took those free throws. That's just mental, isn't it? I love it. Absolute chaos gear. Right, let's do some game wraps. Game wraps. So that's right, the game wraps from today. Let's fly through these because some of these are beltings. The Mavs kicked the crap out of the Hornets 130-104. Grant Williams got laughed at as well, which is pretty funny. I mean, it's always funny when Grant Williams gets laughed at. But Luka had the 39-12-10 because he's a weapon, and the Hornets stink. Mavs, though, with that win, clinched a top six spot. Away they go. The Sixers kicked the crap out of the Pistons 120-102. I called this one, Joel Embiid. He's like, look, I'm going to kick the crap out of some just shit team just to prove that I'm back and healthy. And he just towed Jalen Duren and James Wiseman. He played 36 minutes, though, which was a bit of a surprise. Philly sort of did eventually just sort of piss the Pistons off, but 37-11-8. It's just like the old classic, yeah, I guess you could say I'm back. But there was a moment in this third quarter where I think it was a one-point game, and you're like, oh, my God, are Philly going to bottle this? And then Embiid hit a couple of shots, and they were back up pretty quickly thereafter and up like 23 in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, good job by the Sixers, who just, look, as we broke down on yesterday's show about the standings breakdown, right, just keep winning, just keep winning. That's all they need to do. Just keep winning, let everything else sort of figure itself out. So good job by the Sixers, 45 and 35, still in seventh, but one game back of the Pacers if they ever have any hiccups. We then had, speaking of which, the Pacers did not hiccup because they kicked the shit out of the Raptors, 140-123. Tyrese Halliburton dropped 30, Kelly Oubre 22. It's like, whatever. But the Pacers stay in sixth, one game ahead of the Sixers at 46 and 34. And the Raptors continue the slide into oblivion of, we don't give a crap. 25 and 54. Remember, they've got to keep, what is it? Got to land in the top six of the draft to keep their pick. They currently have the, I believe, sixth worst record. That's good tanking. What else? We had the Heat and the Hawks play an actual game that mattered, and the Heat won it in double overtime. This game was psycho. It was going back and forth, back and forth. DeJounte Murray, the 29-13 and 13 triple double. Yeah, Jimmy Butler with 25-8-9. And, it was a really kind of bizarre topsy-turvy game where the Heat were sort of smashing and then the Hawks came flying back, and then it was just an arm wrestle down the stretch, and you're like, each time it sort of got to overtime, like, can somebody just win this? What are we doing here? It's getting a bit silly now, boys. Get yourselves together. What are you doing? You're freaking me out. But good win for my for Miami, right? Because we sort of broke this down yesterday, of course. The Hawks, it's a bit of a kick in the dick, but the Bulls also lost today. So we'll get to that in a second. The Hawks stay in 10 at 36 and 43. The Heat stay in 8, only a half game back of the Sixers. But they needed to win that just to keep themselves in with a bit of a sniff of 7. So 44 and 35 for your Heaters. The Celtics lost against Milwaukee in that aforementioned game. Oh, one other little thing of note for that Heat game. Tyler, there goes my hero. Launching shots, 33 points he had in that, 13 and 25. Played his ass off. DeAndre Hunter had 23 as well for the Hawks. But yeah, weird game, fun game. Celtics Bucks, 104-91. The Bucks hold on because Pat Bev goes into the starting lineup for Malik Beasley. Xavier Tillman fills in for the Extreme Zingameal. Oh, yeah.
Extreme Zingameal.
And it didn't work. He shot 2 of 7 for 6 points. Jaylen Brown went 7 of 19. Jason Tatum went 9 of 19. Derek White went 3 of 10. 5 of 13 for Giroux. They shot under 40% as a team. They still hit 17 of 52 from downtown, but that is a lot of 3-point attempts. Whereas the Bucks got 20 from Pat Bev. They had Brook Lopez hit 5 threes for 15. Giannis had 15, 8, and 7 before he went out. Middleton had 12, 6, and 9. And you'd be like, well, I guess Dame saved him. Nope. Dame went, what, for 12 points on 11 shots. Bobby Portis, fine Bobby Portis, 15 and 10 off the bench. They were just hitting enough shots. The fact that they hit the exact same amount of threes on 16 less attempts is pretty telling. Good win for the Bucks. Doc Rivers is just like, he might have just been fired after that game if they had lost it, right? Probably not, but still, 48 and 31, that solidifies their hold, the Bucks, back above onto the two seed, because they're now one game up on the Knicks and two games up on the Magic, with the Magic men still to play. The Magic copping the L today was a real just tough one, and the Bucks winning means that it's a little bit easier, but the Knicks look really good as well. I'm about to get to them in a second. Tough one for the Celtics. They're 62 and 17, though. I think the thing that matters the most for them is obviously just keep making sure that the Zinger is
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger. That's what they need. The Knickerbockers, however, Jalen Brunson drops 45 and 8 as they beat the Bulls 128-117. The fascinating one here is that OG Anunoby is back and kicking ass. He had 24 and 3. Brunson had the 45. He had 21 from Donte DiVincenzo. 17 from Josh Hart with 13 rebounds and 7 assists. 34 for DeMar. 26 for Vooch. And Kobe White had 24. God, I love him. Just wish he'd win most improved player. But look, the Knicks just sort of manhandled the Bulls, especially sort of down the stretch. They were just too bloody good. And you're like, oh, That's not what I called on yesterday's show. They just held them at arm's length. There was a moment where they're like, what? Within a few points, like 4 points, I reckon, in that fourth quarter, about halfway through. And the Knicks just settled. They had Josh Hart making a really big shot. And then I think Jalen Brunson hit a three. And it's like, back up 13, game's over. Good win for the Knickerbockers of New York City in the Tibbs Bowl. Love a good Tibbs Bowl. We had a Doc Rivers Bowl today. We had a Tibbs Bowl. We had a 1995 NBA Finals rematch as well, which I'm going to get to in a second. But yeah, there's a lot going on today. It was pretty fun, as well as Jack White. But the Knicks, that's a fascinating win there, because with Orlando losing, they're in third again, one game clear of both the Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 46-33. The Knicks are 47-32. You'll take that if you're a Knicks fan. The Magic men lost a brutal one to the Rockets in Houston, 106-118, because Fred VanVleet of the Fight VanVleet just went fucking bang. He went off, did Fred. 37 points, 6 of 11 from downtown. Rock'em, sock'em, jock'em, Landau chucked in a lazy 8 off the bench as well. But Jabari Smith Jr. crushed it, 23-7-5. It was always going to be interesting to see how this landed, right? Between Jabari and Paolo Banchero. Paolo did not have a good one. He went 0 of 5 from downtown, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 turnovers, and shot 7 of 19. Yeesh. Whereas Jabari goes 9 of 17, 3 of 5 from deep, 23-7-5 with a couple of blocks. That's a pretty bloody good game. Good job, Jabari. Amen Thompson, 13, 15 for Dylan Brooks, 14 for Jalen Green, who's turned back into a spud. Amazing work there. 6 of 17 shooting here. But Jock, 23 minutes, 8 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. Weapon. He was probably just excited because his mate Jack White got on the team for the Grizzlies. So happy days. Houston, 39-40. That is a smashing for Orlando, as I mentioned. It knocks them down into the 4 spot. I don't know where they probably, like, it's probably best if you end up 4-5, you want to play maybe Cleveland. We sort of talked this out on yesterday, right? I want 3-6 to be Knicks Pacers because Spike Reggie Bowl. So this has actually all fallen the way I wanted it to, but who knows if it's going to stay that way with three more games left. Anyway, moving right along, the Spurs beat the Grizzlies 102-87 because Wembanyama is just a menace. 18-7-6 for him with 7 blocks. It's just silly. It's just silly. You're taking the piss, Wemby. Taking the piss. I'll tell you what. Jack White, as mentioned, 6 points on debut for the Grizzlies, 2 rebounds, 1 steal and 1 block shot, 2 of 7, 2 of 5 from downtown. Weapon. But the Grizzlies are starting Brandon Clark, G.G. Jackson, Jordan Goodwin, Scottie Pippen Jr., and Trey Jemison. So, yeah, it's happy in my brain that Jack White is now on that team as well. Because, god damn, some of those dudes stink. Good job by San Antonio. They're 20-59. Grizzlies 27-52. Who cares about that game? Wizards, Timberwolves, funny one. Ant-Man drops 51, 6-7. 130-121. They were down 21 points in this and then went and kicked the shit out of them in the second half. So that's good tanking by the Wizards and a good comeback by the Wolves. 131-121. They just ran over the top of them. Ant-Man had 30 in the second half. There was a moment in that third quarter where they sort of just made a push and you like turned around, they're up 10 and you're like, oh yeah, this game's over. Props to the Wizards though for like no Kuzma. Jordan Poole went 9 of 22 for his 24. Kispert was unreal. 25-5. Not much help from anyone else for the Wolves. Like 23 for Nicky Alexander-Walker. He and Ant-Man were just attacking the rim time and time again. So good win for the Wolves, 55-24, because that leaves them on top of the West still with the Denver Nuggets. Happy days, and the Wiz still stink at 15-65. Kings Thunder played a really fun game. SGA was unreal, especially down the stretch. Everyone was happy to have him back. He had 40-7. De'Aaron Fox had 33-8-6. This game down to literally like clutch scoring by the Thunder down the stretch. And they really just sort of put them to the sword because this was like a tied 102. I want to say it was a tied and maybe even 104. And then right at the end, it was 105-105. And that's a 7-0 run to finish it by the Thunder. The Kings just like they missed 3 after 3 after 3. And you're like, this is where you sort of desperately miss Malik Monk. Even Kevin Huerter, like it was just brutal. So 105-105, they just eke ahead. And if you look at the Kings, like I was watching this one just going, oh, that's not a bad shot, clank. That's not a bad shot, clank. And you're like, oof, just rough as guts. So with, I think, 105 tied up with 2.5 minutes to go, basically, no one scores for the next minute because Keegan Murray misses a shot. J-Dub misses a shot. De'Aaron Fox misses a three. Chet makes one or two free throws. So it's 106-105. Shea hits an awesome, awesome shot in the paint. And De'Aaron Fox misses a three. SGA hits a couple of free throws. It's suddenly 105-110. You're like, what the hell just happened? Keon Ellis turns the ball over. SGA makes another one. David Mitchell misses the three. And you're like, how did this game end so quickly? So the Kings, this is a brutal loss for them because it knocks them back down in. They stay in eight. And the Lakers, unfortunately for them, they lose today. They're a half game back of the Kings. If the Lakers had have managed to pull out the win against the Warriors today, boom, you're right there. You're a little bit safe. You got the double chance. Still in ninth. But wow, Kings, tough loss. 45-34. One game back of the Suns now, who we're about to get to. But yeah, not ideal. Whereas OKC, good win. They're 54-25. They've locked in a playoff top three spot with that because the Clippers can't catch them now. So OKC, at least top three. Love to see it. One game back of the Wolves and the Nugs. Nugs. How good are Nugs? Nugs beat the Yaz. 111-95. Who cares? Nikola Jokic, 28-13-7. Absolute smashing. Good to see Omer Yurtseven dropping a 20-11. Pretty good. But the starters for the Yaz are Lucas Aminich, Tyler Hendricks, Yurtseven, Johnny Uzang, and Keontae George. Yeesh! That's a lot of young dudes, I'll tell you that much. Yes, mate. Yes, it is. Yeah, Nug smashed them. They had Jam Jamal Murray drop 28, which is, look, anytime you can just have Jam Jamal Murray, Jokic, and Michael Porter Jr. hanging out, you'll take it. Good job of the Nugs. They just want to stay healthy through this little stretch run. 55-24, top of the West as well. Warriors beat the Lakers in a really fun game. They hit 26 threes, did the Warriors. LeBron played his ass off and it wasn't enough. Draymond went 5 of 7 overall from downtown. 15-6-10 he ended up with. 23 for Steph. He went 6 of 6 from 3. Klay hit 5 of 10 from downtown for 27 points as well. Chris Paul played really, really, really well. 11-9 with 3 turnovers. He was a plus 21 in a game they won by 14. Not bloody bad. LeBron James had 33-7-11. No AD with his eye injury. Rui Hachimura had 20-11. 22 for Austin Reeves with 6 assists, 7 rebounds. Fun game, and it's just like one of those ones you go, yes, the playing game, if these two land in 9-10, is going to be fun. The tricky one now for the Lakers is that they have to stay ahead of the Warriors to keep the home court in that 9-10 matchup because the Warriors have just gone, what, 9-1 or whatever it is, 8-2 in their last 10. The Lakers have the Grizzlies, which should be a win, and then at the Pelicans in an AD revenge game. The Pelicans need to keep winning out, of course, to stay in the top six. So that's a pretty tough couple of games, whereas the Warriors, the half game back, they've got the Blazers and the Jazz still on the card as well as the Pelicans in the middle. Pretty crazy gear. Pretty fun. Anyway, good job by the Warriors. And then finally, the last two games, Clippers beat the piss out of the Suns, 105-92. This was an absolute laugh. It was 37-10 in the first quarter, and they just put it into cruise control. Suns came flying back. Rusty Westbrook had a triple-double of 16, 15, and 15. This was pretty funny. They had a 31-point lead. They hold on late, and you're like, hang on a second. There was a moment, I think, in the third quarter where they didn't score for about, I think from about, it was like 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes left in the third, all the way through to the fourth quarter. And you're like, are they somehow going to shit the bed here? They're up 84-56. And then suddenly it was 84-71. And you're like, oh God, 84-73. Oh God. Bang. Terrence Mann hit a shot, 86-73. And they sort of just kept them at arm's length the rest of the way. Funny stuff by the Clippers. When I say funny, I mean horrifying. 23 for Paul George, 17 for T-Man. You also had Rusty with the 16, 15, and 15. You love to see that. No Harden, no Kawhi. Not too bad in the end. 21 on 22 shots for KD, 19 for Bad Beal. He actually stepped up. Devin Booker was absolutely lost horrible. And we'll pop up again in a second. He had a rough one, I'll tell you. Oh, yes, mate. Yes, he did. Cool. What else do we have? Oh, Grayson Allen went 3 of 13 in that game, so... Oh, it's just funny, mate. Just funny. And then the last game we had, Pelicans just sort of held off the Blazers, 110-100. Zion was awesome. Dominating was crushing it. Trey Murphy, he's going to bump again later. He was bloody good. He had 31. But Zion had 22-7-3, 29 for CJ McCollum with 5 made threes against his old team. Dyson Daniels got out there for 4, 6, and 5 with a steal and a block as well and 3 turnovers, but happy days. Dominating had 30-13. He bloody loves it when the pressure's off, doesn't he? Look at him go. Unfortunately, it was only Scoot who had 19 points and 15 assists. Watch out like that. And the Grim Reaper. That's it. Doo-wop, bop-bop, doo-wop. Who had 12 and 5, went 5 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 3 from downtown. He was a plus 18 in a game they lost by 10. Just saying. Doo-wop. He rules. Pelicans. Handy win because they stay fat in 6 at 47-32, a game ahead of the Suns after the Suns got smoker-rated by the Clips. And you'll take that. So let's do an NBA Australia Pro performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a knife.
That is a knife, I'll tell you that much. Ant-Man. But Jim, they only beat the Wizards. Yeah, and they were shitting themselves against the Wizards. They were down 21. And he went, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Drops 30 in the second half. Ends up with 51 points. That's a career high. Shot 17 of 29. 6 of 13 from downtown, 11 of 11 at the free throw line. What impressed me most about this was that he was just going at the rim. He's like, yeah, what are you going to do, stop me? And they're like, no. God, he was good. He had 6 rebounds, 7 assists. He's the first Timberwolf in history to have 55 and 5 in a game. So pretty bloody good. Dan Gafford went perfect for the Mavericks against the old Hornets. 12 of 12 from the floor, 26 points and 7 rebounds. SGA's 40 was an absolute godsend for an OKC team that looked like it was going to crap the bed a little bit there against the Kings, and that's a pretty important win to salt that away. So his 40 was massive, and the clutch scoring is just delish. Brunson's 45 as well was really, really good because, look, they've got OG back. I'm going to have to eat crow on what I sort of said yesterday. I might have a bit of a chance still. 13 of 24 for Brunson, 7 of 12 from downtown, and 12 of 12 at the line, 8 assists. 3 rebounds and a steal. He was awesome. You love to see it. What don't you love to see, Jim? That'd be the Spuds of the Night.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. So many Spuds, so little time. Obviously, the first quarter Suns, when they got down 35-4, yeah, it's pretty spud-worthy. With about a minute left, they were 2 of 19 from the floor. Booker got free throws, then got another couple. Then Beal had 2 more, and they ended up 37-10. They were down 53-16 in this game. Jesus!
I will tell you what.
Yeah, brutal. Funny, though. For a bunch of spuds, a collective of spuds. The no free throws of Boston is also pretty funny because you're just like, Jesus, that is, it doesn't happen often, that one. I tell ya. In fact, it's never happened. I believe there was something about how they were the first team to not attempt a free throw in, like, ever, right? So it's pretty incredible. That's like a ridiculous sort of idea of like, hang on a second, what are we doing here? The first team in NBA history to have a game with 0 free throws. That's just spud-worthy. So many spuds, so much time. Elsewhere, we had a couple of good ones because we had Devin Booker went 1 of 11 today. 1 of 11. Jesus. He did shoot 10 of 11 at the free throw line there. But 1 of 11 is brutal. Harrison Barnes, Black Falcon, 1 of 8. Trey Lyles, 1 of 7. Devontae Graham and Jose Alvarado, as well as the Torin, the Red Bull Prince, 1 of 6. Pretty brutal gear there. But we had some really good Ofers. So some really tough ones. The Ofers, Okja Agbaji, he goes 0 of 6. PJ Hamilton, Washington, 0 of 7. Caleb Martin went 0 of 9. But my favorite. Thank you so very much, D'Angelo Russell, for shooting. Shield! Woo!
have you ever made out in a dark hallway?
This place, I kissed a major day. Play the track
from your record collection.
Yeah, you went and shot 311. We haven't been able to play that properly for days. How exciting was that?
It was awesome. Who was old mate? Old mate, no mates, though.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? I enjoyed this. Arash Makazi tweeted out the fact that some dude was proposing to his girlfriend at the Suns Clippers game. A Suns fan. They were down, like 28 to like 2, 28 to 4 or whatever. And he's like down on one knee. It's like, oh, this is the worst idea everyone, like ever anyone has made. Like, this is like, absolutely brutal. She still said yes, so that's good. But what a story.
Oh, yeah, the Suns were getting shit-pumped, so I decided to propose.
Arash also does go, ladies, am I wrong? Anyone out there think this is a good idea? I've yet to meet a single woman who wants to get proposed to this way. It'd be hard to find multiple women, if you can't find a single woman who wants to get proposed. My joke was always, when we're, 6 years of Brooklyn Nets season tickets, every time, like, we became accustomed to, like, the beats, obviously. When you're there that much during the season, you know which bits are coming up because of, like, the music or the way they set it up. And obviously the proposals, we saw a few of them in our years there. And each time I'm like, oh, here we go, old mate. Are you ready? And she'd be like, fuck you. That, like, I'm like, feared for my safety a couple of times. I'm like, she will fucking stab me in the eye if I tried to propose to her at a fucking basketball game. Like, she liked the basketball games. She enjoyed going, but she would have fucking stabbed your old mate Jim right in the eyeball if I had tried that. So, yeah, I'll pay that. Not great, but pretty fucking funny. Old mate, no mate, it's going to be also sort of linked into a bit of the pantsing of the day. Because this was one of the funniest fucking things you'll see, where it was the Knicks-Bulls game and Torrey Craig had the fast break, was throwing an alley-oop to himself off the backboard, and Andre Drummond went, nah, and tried to dunk it over the top of his own teammate. The photos are amazing. The video is just absolutely crazy. He literally put his own teammate on a poster on a breakaway fast break dunk. That is some fucking pantsing. Torrey Craig's like, what the fuck, man? It was incredible. And also the pantsing of the night was Phoenix. Whenever you get scoreboarded and people are just like eyeballs emoji, that's a pantsing. But yeah, as I said, what was it? It was like 53-16. Oh, that is just a tough look. Who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, I tell you what. Corey Kispert, I've mentioned this time and time again, but the Wizards are, look, they're not a great watch, I'll be honest. But when you're just a silly little hoops junkie like your mate Jim over here, you'll just like be watching all these games and you're like, you're sort of tuning in on a day like this where you've got 14, you're like, what the fuck is going on with Wolves Wizards? So you watch a bunch of it, and Kispert was fucking fantastic. But also, you know how I love Denny Avdija and stuff like that, right? So Kispert goes 9 of 17, 5 of 10 from 3, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. The crazy part for me is like the Wizards have just taken this long to just force feed Kispert, Avdija, and just go, look, have we fucking got anything here? Go, mate, go. And they've been pretty bloody good. Keon Ellis is the same sort of vibe. 23 points today as well for the Kings. They do lose the game, but it is hilarious how much more dangerous the Kings suddenly look at times. Probably not so much on offense, even though he did score the 23. 8 of 15 shooting, 7 of 13 from downtown. Like, they do just lack that extra scorer now. That's the problem, because losing Huerta, losing Malik Monk, you're kind of like, Davion Mitchell shooting 3 of 10 is not going to do it, nor is Trey Lyles going 1 of 7. So when you're sort of primary backup scorers off the bench can combine to shoot 4 of 17. That's not great. But by the same token, Keon Ellis just gives him this sort of weird, fun malleability. He's not that great. He had 5 turnovers, but he had 2 blocks and 2 steals. And he's just kind of fun. He just gives him a different look defensively on the perimeter. I kind of love it. Go, Keon Ellis. But we are back in the studio. So the cool part is, you know what that means? Oh, yes. It might be time for everybody's favorite segment. Here we go. There's no feeling that can compare to winning a national championship. It's crazy to think that 45 years ago, me and my MSU teammates won a national title. I knew we were up against a 33-0 Indiana State team led by Player of the Year Larry Bird, so I had to make sure I did my part for my team to bring home the trophy. Being awarded Most Valuable Player of the Game for my 24-point, 7-rebound, 5-assist performance, and having my teammate Greg Kelsa show out with a 19-point, 8-rebound, 9-assist performance proved two stars was better than one. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. That is the most amazing self-trumpeting, like, yeah, remember when I won a title and I was fucking awesome in college as well? You legend, Magic. That is so fucking great. Go off, King. Go off. All right. Let's do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Bit of yeah, nahs brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Bebo.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Or just click through on the socials. Away you go. Always fun. Very, very cool. You can get a hoodie, get a t-shirt. I had to like break out my hoodie. I was actually wearing it last night because it got so bloody cold. I'm like, what is happening? It's been hotter than shit for like months. This is the first I've been cold in ages. This is horrible. So the hoodie came in very handy. Get a t-shirt, get a coffee mug, warm up your mornings, and a stubby holder. Bring your nights to a happy close. Right. Will the Clippers or Indy win a title before signing an Aussie? Yeah, nah. Of course they won't. Idiots. But yeah, the fact that Indy and the Clippers are the only ones who don't have an NBA title, well, who don't have an NBA Australian that have ever represented them, right? And both don't have NBA titles. Coincidence? Yeah, nah, no. Would the Clippers have a title if they'd actually fucking kept Joe Ingles? Yeah, nah, probably, because Joe Ingles, that exact archetype of NBA player, the rangy, do-everything, ball-handling, 3-and-D wing was the exact fucking thing they did not have in the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan era. You done fucked it, Clippers. Sucked in. Just saying. Anyway. so the other Aussies out there, it's like, oh, Jim, who played for Charlotte? It's like, you forgot Mango Mathiang, didn't you? Mango Mathiang. The other ones out there that you sort of tend to forget about is, I mean, obviously Bangers and Jonah being on Phoenix, always good. Isaac Humphries being on Atlanta and stuff. Yeah, Denga Dell on the Cavs as well as obviously Delhi and stuff. Will the Thrill Magne down there in New Orleans? Always good. And then before Dyson. But yeah, they're like we've obviously been pretty bloody represented across a lot of the other ones like Milwaukee. Jingles going to Orlando this year and Patty going to Miami. That broke a new couple of barriers as well there too. Gazy playing for Washington was always an interesting one as well as the Spurs. And we obviously have a very long and storied history of the Spurs, but yeah, good times. Anyway, so it just leaves Indy and the Clippers because Bogut played on the Lakers. You got plenty of dudes. So anyway, good times. Hey, you're the Suns, frauds. Yeah, nah. There is just fucking something missing about that team, isn't there? I don't know what it is. It stinks. It stinks. They stink. They just have like a game like this where it just, they fall apart. They look like dog shit. And you're like, what is up with this team? And then you sort of think about it. You go, look, KD, snake. Brad Beal, no one ever accused him of being a really good leader. Devin Booker, just a weird cat. Just a weird, don't double team me during practice. Nurkic, He's just too busy, like, not playing at the moment. Drew Eubanks, he stinks. Grayson Allen, he's the most punchable dude in the NBA. Then it's a bunch of bench filler. Royce O'Neal, awesome. Eric Gordon, good old Moonface himself. What are you doing? We're like the hardcore, I'm an ass kicker, get your ass out there. We're not fucking losing 37-10 in the first fucking quarter, players. Who is it? It's not Kevin Durant. Hey, man. I'm going to get you on the internet. All right, Kevin. Great. Why don't you glom on for another couple of fucking fake titles? Devin Booker, 1 of 11. It's against a Clippers team that didn't have like its two fucking other best players, Harden and fucking Kawhi. What a horrible, horrible team. I love the Suns. I love the concept of the Suns. I love that logo. I love those jerseys when they whip them out. But wow, do I hate this big three. Or is it like big 2.3? Fucking Brad Beal. Anyway, hang on. Should we be worried about the Knicks again, that OG's back? Yeah, nah. I mean, fucking yeah. They're 17-3 when he plays. Just like that's 17-3 is bloody good. They will run into problems where it's like, remember when we could just throw the ball to Julius Randle and get a bucket? Now it's like a lot of Villanova, Bronson Harton, Dante DiVincenzo, OG out there, Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitch Robinson coming off the bench, Deuce McBride off the bench, Bojan though is kind of at least there. I think you got to worry about them now that OG's back, and if he's actually going to keep playing like this and be healthy, I'd worry about him a little bit. Because I talked about this the other day, Orlando versus New York, if that was like a series, yeah, I'd be like fucking backing Orlando to the hilt. But now if OG's going to be out there as well, it gets a lot more interesting. Are the Bucks completely cooked if Giannis has to miss 2 weeks? Yeah, nah. Fucking yes. As a 2 seed, just imagine if they get stuck playing like, if they got stuck playing like Philly without Giannis, that would be hilarious. Because then Philly are like, wait a minute, we could win this. This is going to, and then 100% Philly would completely bottle it somehow and we'd all be laughing at them. Because that's just what Philly does. But obviously the 2-7 at the moment is Milwaukee versus the Sixers, but that also hinges upon the Sixers beating the Heat in the 7-8 play-in. It also hinges on the Giannis injury actually being serious enough that he'd have to miss a week or two. But same token, like a week, you'd maybe even still be missing game one of the play-ins because we go to the playoffs next week. Gets a bit tricky, gets a bit hairy. And if you miss Giannis for any part of a playoff series, that could be you completely fucking cooked, Bucks. Just think about what their rotation looks like without Giannis and you're like, oh, this gets squirrely really quickly. Middleton, Lopez, you may be throwing Portis in there in place of Giannis. So Dame, Middleton, Portis, Brook Lopez, Pat Bev, you're like, oh, God, that is a rough one, I'll tell you. So anyway, they've gone 3-3 without Giannis this year as well. Not ideal. Anyway, unpopular opinion of the day. If I can find it.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
One of the most annoying things about the NBA, well, American-based commentary on the NBA, is like, oh, would Billy Donovan take the college job in Kentucky in place of coaching the Chicago Bulls? I hate that shit. It's like a professional, like you go coach a bunch of amateurs. You know what you got to do as a college coach? Like I know, look, Kentucky is the best job probably in college basketball. It's like prestigious. It's awesome. Like maybe Duke, but at the same time, like after Coach K, you're kind of fucked, right? Like what are they without Coach K? There's some other pretty, you know, good ones. How good are UConn going back to back? That's awesome. But Kentucky, like Billy Donovan has been thrown around. He's like, no, I don't want to go coach Kentucky. I don't want to go fucking do NILs. I don't want to have to go fucking recruit. You know what I have to do here? Just coach basketball and get paid a fuck ton of money for it. Yeah, you're in Chicago and they haven't made a player trade since 2021 and they're still shit. But yeah, I hate that It's like it kept happening as well. Even when Brad Stevens was in charge of Boston, like, oh, the Indiana job's popping up. It's like it's the University of Indiana. I don't care if he's from there. Like, he's coach of the fucking Boston Celtics. Shut up, nerds. Like, the way that they get so fucking boned up about college sports is weird. God bless their cotton socks. They're all insane. All of them. Without fail. Nah, I've got some good mates who are American. They are probably also nuts, but still. Just fucking college. It's just, it's weird. But now they're getting paid. It's good for the athletes. I'm happy for that. Versus coaching in the NBA? What are you talking about? Shut up. Right, Outback Takeouts. It's Wednesday at Outback. You know what? I took the squid to coding camp this morning. Before we got in there, I'm like, how about you code the shit out of some tasty bloody magpie wings? Just choked a couple out in the car park, chucked them over a little barbie, and boom, Bob's your uncle. Goes great as a flame grill take, and today's flame grill take is... If I were the Wolves, I'd be sending someone around to just maybe kick Carl Anthony Towns in the side of the knee real quick. No, we don't want people injured. But I'll tell you what, the Wolves are just sort of cruising along now. Top of the West, looking bloody good with McDaniels, Gobert, Naz Reid, Conley and Edwards as your starting five. The problem is, like, Naz Reid sort of keeps getting, like, dinged up and hurt and all this sort of stuff. So maybe you just go, right, fuck it, we don't want to risk it. We'll bring Cat back anyway, just so we've got warm bodies. But just saying, wouldn't there be a little moment where you're like, do we really want him back? Do you really want to form a number one pick who can nail threes but also might fuck everything up for Anthony Edwards a little bit? Maybe. Just saying. Don't bring him back. Only at Outback. All right. Quick break, Australian Player Watch, right after this.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, let's do it. Australian Player Watch, Josh Giddy. He had a bit of a weird one today because obviously SJA back sort of pushes Gids back down the pecking order a little bit. But... you know, at least in that game, they got over the hump. And it's not exactly a weird matchup for him as well, but the Kings are a bit fast. And anyway, he only played 21 minutes. He went 2 of 7, 0 of 4 from downtown. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks, 4 turnovers and 5 fouls. So, rough one for our man Gids, I'll tell you. Our man Gids. Paddy Thrills, Paddy. Mills. Hasn't played since he scored that 17 against his old team, Portland, the other day. Bit of a rough one. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em. Lando, though, up against his good mucker mate, Jingling Joe Ingles. He had the 8 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal effort today in a big win that meant nothing for the Rockets. In 23 minutes, though, great job by the Rooster. How about Jingling Joe Ingles in that game? 18 minutes, 2 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 4 from downtown, 2 of 3 at the line. So ends up with 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. He was a plus 3 in a game they lost by 12. That's our man. He's Jingles, he's Jingles. He'll kick your ass, he's fucking Joe Ingles. It's a good song. I just made that one up off the top of my head. Songbird of my generation. Dante Sexum up, Exum, Kangaroo, Kobe. Yeah! 20 minutes, 1 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 3 from downtown. 2 points. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, plus 15. You'll take that. Good effort. Still no Josh Greeny Green, you know, recovering from his ankle injury. But that's okay. I mentioned Dyson Daniels, the vacuum, a little bit earlier. Not bad. I'll tell you. He had a, you know, filled up the score sheet a bit, did Dyson, the dustbuster. 28 minutes, 4 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block. 3 turnovers, 2 of 4 shooting, 0 of 1 from downtown. In that same game, you had the Great Barrier Reef himself. Doo-wop, bop-bop, doo-wop. Played 12 minutes, he went 5-8 from the floor, 2 of 3 from downtown, 0 of 1 at the line. 12 points, 5 rebounds and an assist, plus 18. They lost by 10. It was a plus 18 in 12 minutes. He had 12 points in 12 minutes, mate. Play the man, Portland. I don't care about DeAndre Ayton. Matisse Thybulle also still out with his ankle injury. And obviously... we've now got to throw at back in there our man, dun, 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 Jack White. What a legend. I'm so happy you made it back into the NBA after, you know, flogging out in the G League and stuff. Becomes on, plays 26 minutes in his debut for the Grizzlies, 6 points, 2 rebounds, a steal and a block, shoots 2 of 5 from downtown and 2 of 7 overall. That is just some legendary shit. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. All right, Andrew goes Grandmamba Award for our center chickenman in the field of excellence real quick. Oh, actually, this is maybe a bit of a combination. Shane Hill, shooter, shoot. So we'll back him up together. Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba. Outstanding
achievement here. He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill.
Shoot his shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light him up award. Right. Well, the Warriors were the first team in NBA history to have 25-plus threes and 10 blocks in a game. That's pretty bloody fun. Enjoyed that. And the Shane Hill... So it's a bit of a combination Shane Hill shooter-shoot and a bit of excellence. Pretty bloody good. Another Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence is that Luka, Mavs top scorer of all time with in a season, I think, going past Mark Aguirre for, like, total points, which is pretty cool. I think, like, I had a little bit of time for Mark Aguirre when I was a kid. I enjoyed his game. It was pretty weird, but he's at 2,341 points for the season. That's a new Mavs franchise record for points in a season. Mark Aguirre had 2,330 in 1983-84. There you go. Pretty bloody good. And then Shane Hill, shooter, shoot, shoot your shot, line him up award. Trey Murphy. God, he's good. I think he hit 5 threes today, 31 points, 7 rebounds. Amazingly enough, when they just go, hey, Trey, can you just hit 5+ threes? And he's like, oh, guess I can. They're 9-0 when he does that. How bloody good is that? Not bad, Jim. Not bad. All right. How about a bit of Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Oh, yeah, a bit of Patty. So the bit where he's, like, checking himself out in the mirror and doing the breakdown, the outfit breakdown. We've now got, like, a fashionista dude, Amy Audibert, who's actually, like, breaking down Patty's fashion breakdown. Ball of Pat has entered the fashion chat. I had no idea, and it's awesome. He looks fire. It's an awesome getup, so go check it out. And then today's one, the 1989 studio. He's got the big coat. He's got a coffee. It's pretty good. Interesting pants. Don't know about that one. And the boys in ATL, Cole Swider. Oh, nice one. A couple of the Aussies hanging out, chilling. Tomorrow we have a... Now, this is what I was getting angry about earlier. So we had no fucking games on Tuesday because the NBA are a bunch of cowards. Like, no, we don't want to go up against the national championship game of college basketball. So they're shitting on their own product to help boost someone else's buy. Tomorrow's games, we have a shit ton of them that have big fucking playoff implications. Do you know how dumb that is to shoot yourself in the foot and go, oh, we want to let college have the spotlight for that day? Meanwhile, you've got big things like Minnesota, Denver playing on fucking, and Phoenix and the Clippers playing on back-to-backs, which have really big like ramifications for like playoff seeding and shit like this, and it all looks fucking stupid. Just imagine if they had, I don't know, a vice president of common fucking sense named, I don't know, me. They went, James, should we play a bunch of games all crammed into 2 days just before the playoffs to allow college basketball to have a huge big pedestal on which to sell itself? No, you idiots. What are you doing? Bloody hell. Anyway, tomorrow we have Cleveland. Cleveland taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Even with Jack White, and so I think Cleveland, look, the Cavs are out there going, we need to start smashing people. Grizzlies on a back-to-back. The Cavs are one of those two teams who didn't play today, and I think minus 18.5. I suspected this would be one of the biggest lines of the year, and I'm not upset. It could have been 20, and I think I still probably would have taken Cleveland. Paul, like, The Grizzlies today just didn't really have much in the tank at all to take on the Spurs, and the Cavs are substantially better than the Spurs. So having lost today by 15 to San Antonio, tomorrow they play a Cleveland team that needs to win. Poor one out for Memphis. I'm taking Cleveland minus 18.5. Atlanta, same sort of vibes. They're still like within a, you know, puncher's chance of like getting that home court for the play-in against the Bulls. So they've got to keep on winning. They play Charlotte. Both teams sort of getting to play on a bit of the old back-to-back. They just played an over double overtime game, did the Hawks, whereas Charlotte got smashed by Dallas. But Atlanta at home. I'm going to take the Hawks minus 10.5. They've got solid enough sort of players. This is one of the ones tomorrow I don't feel most confident about because Charlotte could just sort of stick around and be annoying. But on the road, you kind of just tend to think Atlanta will have enough. Like Charlotte, it's still like a lot of Grant Williams. It's a lot of Brandon Spindles Miller. Miles Bridges might go off. They are solid, but Atlanta, can you trust them one more time? I don't really want to, but here we are. I'm definitely not trusting Boston, Brooklyn to cover a 10.5 point line against Toronto, even at home. Even with the Toronto Raptors in like tanking, they've still got some players. I think they'll win. Like they'll probably lose this, but they'll put up a fight and Brooklyn will try to shit down their pants and like win by four. So give me Toronto plus 10.5. Dallas, Miami. Awesome game. But again, this is a back-to-back. I'm taking Miami plus 5.5 because they actually have a little bit more to play for than the Mavs. I don't think the Mavs at this point can basically catch the Clippers with a 4-5. So I think, yeah, there's still two games back. I mean, if they won and the Clippers sort of lost out, it'd make it interesting. But even if Dallas do win this, I think it's not by much. And Miami still cover the 5.5 points that they're getting at home. Orlando take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, huge game with playoff ramifications because this is like the 2 and the 4 seed. And the NBA, in all their wisdom, like, oh, we better give college a good day because we should just cram all our games together. Hooray! So the Bucks and the Magic, the 2 and 4 seeds, this is a huge swing game on a back-to-back. Great job, everybody. Orlando are 1.5-point underdogs in Milwaukee. After what we saw from Orlando, I don't feel really confident about this, so I might have to take the Bucks plus 1.5, but they do miss Giannis. So I think I'm picking Orlando minus 1.5. I think the adrenaline of losing Giannis got them over the line today against the Celtics, who were just all out of shape and couldn't do anything. I'll take Orlando. San Antonio! Again, a back-to-back against OKC. Also on a back-to-back. How do injuries occur just before the playoffs, Jim? I don't know, by making teams play fucking back-to-backs. This close to the playoffs. God, it's dumb. San Antonio plus 15.5, though, I think. In OKC, I think OKC will take care of business. But look, San Antonio are just playing tough. They won today. They'll lose tomorrow, but it'll be like 12 or 14. So give me Oklahoma City to win, Spurs to cover. Denver, Minnesota. God damn it, it's another one. Oh, geez. This is literally a top of the West clash, and it's on a back-to-back. I'm taking Denver minus 5.5. Minnesota took 30 points from Ant in the second half to like get over Washington. They're fun. He's fun. He's really good, but Denver might just squeeze the life out of you, especially at home. So give me Denver minus 5.5. And then we've got Clippers versus Phoenix Redux. We just did this today. We're doing it again tomorrow. It's pretty funny. Clippers, I think the Q might go back into the rack for this one a little bit. They sort of like salted away that four seed, basically, especially if Dallas lose in Miami. I'm going to take Phoenix minus 2.5, minus 3.5 at home now. I think Booker has a big bounce back, and the Clippers, look, with no Kawhi, Paul George, Rusty, could they do it again? Probably not. So give me Phoenix minus 3.5. And there you go. So what's that? That's a 8-game slate tomorrow, which will be pretty fun. I'll be taping that one from the big studio, the fancy studio, because we'll have the live AFL Today show when the AFL teams go live. Well, it's not live. It goes up straight away, but yeah. Anyway, so we'll be in the office doing that one. That'd be fun. Hooray. But remember, you can watch this on YouTube. You can watch the AFL Today show on YouTube as well. Go subscribe to the bloody NBA Australia YouTube. Make sure you like, reviewed, subscribed, done all that good shit across Twitter, Face IG for all of those shows as well. The AFL Today Show, the Cricket Today Podcast, the Football Today Podcast, NFL Australia. Come on. AFL today as well. Really get around it if you're in year footy. We have a fucking good time. Check us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you're using, an Android phone as well. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch, get your merch. And big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro. They rule. So do House Hatch, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show. So smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Whatever you listen to your tunes through, do that. NBA Australia Sports Train Bands, so should you. No skit today because I've got to bounce because I've got the squid just out there watching. What was he watching? Life on Other Planets, I think. He's a mad dog. I love it. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Until then, this is NBA Australia saying look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Zena!
What was that? What the hell was that?